Hello and welcome to the Thought Experiment. I'm Scott Berger, and I'm here to guide you through a series of hypothetical journeys through physics, mathematics, and philosophy. This week we have a very special guest hailing from the University of Lancaster, all the way across the pond in the United Kingdom. She's here to talk about thought experiments, what they are, and how we deal with them. So without any further ado, our guest for this week, Rachel Cooper.
Hello, my name's Rachel Cooper. I'm a philosopher at the University of Lancaster in the UK. One of the topics that I'm interested in is how thought experiments work in both philosophy and science. And I guess it's worth pausing to reflect on how really weird thought experiments are. So in a thought experiment, it seems that we can just sit in our armchair and tell stories and discover things about the world. So what I'm interested in doing is understanding how it is that we can gain knowledge through doing thought experiments, and also understanding how it is that sometimes thought experiments don't work. Now, I've got an account of how I think thought experiments work. What I suggest is that thought experiments characteristically present us with a series of what-if questions. So, for example, a thought experimenter might ask us to consider what would happen if there was no friction, or what would happen if people split in half like amoeba when they reproduced. And what we do in a thought experiment, I think, is we temporarily adjust our worldview in order to construct a model that fits with the answers to these what-if questions. Now, how do we answer these what-if questions? Well, I think that what happens is that we predict how imaginary entities would behave in exactly the same kinds of way that we predict how real entities will behave. So sometimes we have scientific laws that we can use to predict how events would unfold in a thought experiment. So we can use laws to do with how masses interact to predict how imaginary masses would interact. Sometimes we don't have explicit laws, but we still have tacit understanding of how things are likely to work. So, for example, suppose in a thought experiment I'm imagining what someone would do if they started to read a boring book. I can have a tacit understanding that normally people just put books down when they get bored with them, so I can predict that that is what would happen. So one point that's of key importance from my account is that I think that the reasoning that we employ in constructing a thought experiment is really nothing very special. It's exactly the same kind of reasoning that we use in many other areas of our life. So as human beings, we don't just act, we also plan and plot and imagine. And this is really important to us. So if I'm deciding where to go on holiday, I spend some time weighing up the alternatives. So I'd imagine what would happen if I went to Blackpool, say, as compared to what would happen if I went to Mexico. So I might say, right, well, what if I go to Blackpool? Well, then I could go and drink a lot at various nightclubs. I might be able to go for rides on the donkeys, on the beach. And then I can work out whether I'd really like that and then reach a decision. So I think that the forms of reasoning that we have quite a lot of practice at using when we're planning how to act are identical to those that we can use in a thought experiment when we're trying to work out what would happen if various imaginary scenarios occurred. Now, one thing that is different from thought experiments compared with some other types of imagining is that in a thought experiment, the what-if questions have to be followed through rigorously. So if I'm doing a thought experiment, I pose a what-if question and I have to follow through all the consequences of the changes in my worldview that I'm imagining making. In contrast, if you compare that with daydreaming, say, in a daydreaming, I might lazily imagine being Prime Minister. And I don't really have to worry too much about the full implications of the policies that I'm imagining enacting. So the thought experimenter is committed to rigorously considering all the relevant consequences when they answer the what-if questions that they pose. Now, once the what-if questions are answered, two possible things can happen. Sometimes when all the what-if questions have been answered, the thought experimenter will be forced to conclude that an internally consistent model can't be produced of the scenario they were trying to imagine. Often this would be because following through the what-if questions just results in an overt contradiction. Other times there might be slightly more subtle problems. But if the thought experimenter decides that an internally consistent model of the scenario just can't be made, then they can conclude that the scenario they were trying to imagine is actually internally inconsistent and impossible. And that teaches them something about the actual world, namely it teaches them that the world can't be like that. The other thing that might happen is that when the thought experimenter follows through all the what-if questions, they achieve an internally consistent model of how the world might have been. If they manage to do that, then I think that shows that the scenario they're imagining is possible in some sense. Now, sometimes I think that thought experiments fail. And this can happen for a number of reasons. One way in which thought experiments can fail is that sometimes a thought experimenter will pose a what-if question that they're just entirely unable to answer. So just to give you an example, there's a famous philosopher called Bernard Williams, and he's interested in questions of personal identity. So questions to do with what it is that makes me the same person today as I was 10 years ago, whether I'd be the same person if part of my brain was taken out, for example. And so he's interested in these kinds of questions. And he offers us a thought experiment to help us deal with problems to do with personal identity. And in this thought experiment, he asks us to consider what would happen if people split like amoeba when they reproduce. Now, I think that this thought experiment fails. So Williams asks us a what-if question, what if people split like amoeba? But I think we're just totally unable to answer that. I mean, what if people split like amoeba? It's unclear what's supposed to happen. Are they just supposed to kind of split up the middle? But then all their guts would come out and they wouldn't survive at all. They wouldn't be like amoeba at all. Or is it that they're supposed to kind of sprout extra arms and legs before they split? It's totally unclear what's supposed to happen. I just don't think we can answer the what-if question in that case. So sometimes we get stuck with the thought experiment because we pose a what-if question that we're unable to answer. The other way in which thought experiments sometimes fail is that sometimes a thought experimenter can make a mistake as to whether they've managed to construct an internally consistent model or not. So sometimes inconsistency can be difficult to spot. So you can think of mathematical proofs where it might take years for someone to spot that there's actually a massive problem and there's an inconsistency somewhere. So just to give an example of a thought experiment that I think fails because the thought experimenter thought that there was an inconsistency where actually there isn't one. Now this is an ancient thought experiment. What it's trying to do is to show that the universe is infinite by a reductio argument. Now what we're asked to do is to imagine a man at the end of the universe. So the man at the end of the universe tries to throw a spear. Now, the spear can't go forwards because the man's at the edge of the universe, so there's literally nowhere for it to go. But then it couldn't rebound because that would just be absurd. So we're left to conclude that the universe can have no edge and so must be infinite. Now, this thought experiment fails, I suggest. The problem is that the thought experimenter has overlooked the fact that it's actually possible for a surface to be both finite and have no edge. So the surface of a sphere is an example of that. So the thought experimenter mistakenly thought there was a contradiction where actually there isn't one. Okay, so just to sum up, what I want to suggest is that in a thought experiment, we're asked to address a what-if question. We use completely commonplace types of reasoning in answering these what-if questions. Sometimes we can get an internally consistent model, then we can conclude that a scenario is possible. Sometimes when we answer the what-if questions, everything just collapses into contradiction. Then we can conclude that the scenario we were trying to imagine isn't actually possible at all. So that's what happens when thought experiments work. But sometimes they fail. Sometimes we pose what-if questions that we've got no way of answering. Sometimes we can think that there's an inconsistency when actually there isn't. And when those two things happen, the thought experiment just goes wrong. Okay, thank you very much.